Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, open your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. So last week I saw Abby wearing a shirt. Abby, I'm gonna have to find me a shirt like that. And the shirt says, How did the shirt go? What did it say? I'm so for real right now. It's like, be real. Be real. Hey guys, welcome back. Be real. And I want to talk about that. You know, there's this expression in English also that says, are you for real? For real? Seriously? But, you know, it's like, be real. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 13 verse 5. It says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. I don't know, but I believe it is very healthy for anybody to do a physical self-examination, a physical examination. I mean, you go to the doctor, right? You need the doctor for that. But have you been able to take time to examine, really examine life? You know, like for those of us who are a little older, wiser, we have to go to the doctors almost maybe twice a year. Sometimes once a year, but some of us, we go in a little more often than others because we need an examination. Are you for real? Will you be able to examine yourself like it says here? Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Now, someone may ask, how do you test yourself? Now, if you don't take the time to test yourself, life will test you. Let's bring it a little closer. People will test you. The flesh will test you. The weather. Now it's hot. I love it. I know it's really hot. I'm not saying it's not hot. It is hot. But I feel better when it's hot than when it's cold. So you laugh at me later when it's cold. Unless you can test yourself, it says, examine, surely you know that Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test. Unless indeed you are disqualified. Now let me ask you this question. Are you for real? There are three people here who knows you. You know yourself, the enemy knows you, and God knows you. So Satan knows if you're real or not. But you also know if you are real. Now you could fool me as much as you try to, you want to, unless the Lord give me a word of discernment, a knowledge. But you cannot fool God. Are you for real? Are you real? So be real. I read this. I can't remember. I think one of the book I was reading, and I saw it, and I forgot to put the guy's name. I think his name. I'm reading this book that talks about the shepherd heart. It's a really good book. And the guy said, the more you daily live for Jesus, the more it shows how deeply committed you are to Jesus. The more you daily live for Jesus, what does it mean to live for Jesus? It means Jesus rules. Everything you do it according to the principle of the Bible. You are very intentional to live by the principle of the Word of God. Not as an American, Puerto Rican, Haitian, Jamaican, Ghanaians, you know, Africans, wherever you may from. Kingdom minded, kingdom culture. Mind be renewed by the word, so now we don't think like Americans. Our culture becomes kingdom culture. Are you for real? This question is calling for fruitfulness. Are you bearing fruit? Being real means you're bearing fruit rather than just professing faith. This morning, were you open enough for the Lord to touch you? Now, there's one dude in the Bible, we don't talk too much about him. You know, a lot of time we talk about Peter. We spoke about Paul. We talk about, you know, even doubting Thomas. Jacob, welcome back. Good to see you, brother. We even talk about doubting Thomas, right? But rarely do we talk about Judas. I mean, and I was actually asked Kendra the other day. I said, Kendra, has anybody ever called their kids Delilah, and Judas? Judas? Nobody ever called their kids Judas. Judah, right? The lion, you know, the lion of Judah. But Judas? So the name Judas really comes with a bad reputation. Because when you study the Bible, especially the gospel, Judas, you know what he did? He betrayed the Son of God. The name of Judas, it says, Judas has a name that has gone down in infamy. Just terrible testimony about him. The name of Judas is just known for a bad guy. Man, you betrayed Jesus. But when you studied the gospel, what Judas did, it wasn't as worse as what Peter did. Judas, they all betrayed God, Jesus. The only difference between Judas and Peter, Judas allows shame to come in. And that's the work of the enemy. When we sin, when we do bad things, when we disobey the word of the Lord, please, don't allow the enemy to guilt trip you. Repent. Because when he brings shame, you know what shame does? Shame removes you from the presence. But Peter, you know what he did? The Bible says it. Peter went outside, you know, went away and cried saying, Lord, you said I would betray you and I did. And at the time, just the night, a couple hours before, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He says, guys, one of you will betray me. Well, let's read it. It's Mark chapter 14. Be real. Mark chapter 14. Let me start with verse 12. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples ask him, where do you want us to go and prepare the Passover meal for you? So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. He says, that is where I should prepare our meal. Verse 16. So the two disciples went into the city, found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with his 12 disciples. 12 disciples, as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, verily I'd say, one of you eating with me here will betray me. And I want you to picture this event right there. Here's the Lord sitting probably at the, you know, head of the table. Disciples surround him, sitting around the table. And there he says, guys, let me tell you this. Tonight, one of you will betray me. And then all of them, what happened here when he said that? What they say? Greatly distressed. It says anxiety. Just think about it. But just think about Peter. Let's just use Peter for example. Their hearts start beating. Peter's heart start beating. Peter's like, no, man, I love you, Lord. Peter was sincere. Peter was so sincere that I will die for you. He was sincere. Until, like they say in English, the rubber hit the road. He faced reality. Until he faced reality. What will you do when life tests your walk with the Lord? What will you do when sickness, death, situation, bad choices will test your devotion? The devotion you thought you had. Let's be real, my brothers and sisters. I mean, just imagine, Judas, for 3.5 years, all the miracles we read from the Gospels, when they were feeding the 5,000, Judas was part of the disciples, giving out, you know, picking up the leftover bread and fishes. Judas saw Jesus calm the storm. When Jesus sent the disciples 2 by 2 and he gave them authority to cast out demons, raise the dead, and preach the gospel, the Bible says he breathed on them. Judas went with another disciple. So, Lord help me. Judas had the physical. I mean, right now, Jesus is in our lives. Tangible through the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But Judas had Jesus, could literally touch Jesus. He still missed it. You could be sitting here. If you're not real, you'll miss it. If the trumpet would sound today, you know, sometimes we think, I'm young, I'm not gonna die. You know? Some people, they say, once you get older, you feel like, okay, all right, I'm ready. You know, but when you're in your 20s, 30s, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, 15, 17, you're like, ah, I'm young, 30s. Really? Every moment is your moment. Every moment is your chance. So, bam, if you die today, what would happen to you? Are you so real to face eternity? Is your relationship with the Lord real? That you're like, you know what? Death could come. I'm ready. The trumpet could sound. I'm ready. That's just the focus on Judas. We don't talk much about him. What could we learn from him? He was with Jesus. And yes, missed the boat. He sinned just like all the disciples. Of course, you like the enemy. The Bible says Satan entered his heart. There's a verse in Ephesians. I love it. It says, do not give a foothold. You know what that means? It means don't let the devil in your on your porch. You know, some of you, you keep the devil a little too close. Kick him away. Don't keep the devil too close to you. Are you for real? Are you real? Be real. You could fool me. You could fool all of us. Here is Judas, fooled the disciples for 3.5 years. But Jesus knew. Sometimes I pray, I said, Lord, please give me your heart to wash my Judas's feet. Just think about it. In the next book in John, it says the same scene, but before Jesus ate and took communion with them, it says he took a vase of water and towel. He washed all of their feet, including Judas, knowing, oh, Jesus, help us. Lord, help us. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to be real. My brothers and sisters, please listen to my heart. Be real. Be real. Are you real? You could fool me. You could fool all of us. But you cannot fool God. And I believe today, for the fact that you have this opportunity to hear, that's why I'm taking my time. You know, I'm trying to not get excited. I'm trying to just slowly tell you, be real. Be real. Are you real? Is your walk with the Lord real? Examine yourself. Are you real? And you know what's going to happen when you're real? Life will test you. It will show. There will be fruit. Verse 19 in Mark 14. It says they got greatly distressed. Anxiety filled their soul. Each one asked them, am I the one? Wow. Jesus said, guys, all of you. All of you here, one of you will betray me. And they knew Jesus was serious. And then they all asking, Lord, is it me? Is it me? In John, it says, Peter asked John, which the Bible calls the beloved, because they thought, you know, John gave himself that name. I am the one the Lord loved the most. I love it. I want to be like John. Guys, I am God's favorite. I am his beloved. You need to know that you are his beloved. That's the truth. You are Abba's beloved. He cares for you. John got that. He had that revelation. So then Peter asked John, because John sat a little closer to Jesus. He's like, ask him who he is. Who? Ask the Lord. One of us? But Lord, won't you just tell us? In John, Jesus answered them. He said, well, I'm going to dip my bread and give to the one that's going to betray me. And I was reading this the other day. I was just like, you know, in my imaginary mind, I'm thinking, Jesus was so close to these guys. I'm wondering if they thought he was joking. Even though they know what he said, he meant it. But when he gave Judas, dip the bread, give Judas, they couldn't believe it. They kept asking them, is it me? The Lord said, it's Judas, literally. They still couldn't believe it. And then Jesus said, well, Judas, what you have to say, what you have to do, go ahead and do it. And at the time, wow, you know, the Bible church, when you study history, they say Judas, he had, he gave the enemy a foothold in his life because he wasn't honest. Judas was very dishonest with money. And Judas was one of the guy he thought when he was following Jesus, but he had the wrong motives. You know, how many times we're following Jesus because we think he's got the answer for your life. You're sick, he's going to heal you. You're poor, he's going to give you money. But remember, the Bible says if you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. Yes, the Lord can bless you. He will bless what you manage. That's what we forget in the church. We're like, oh Lord, bless me. And the Lord's like, you know what? Blessing comes with hard working. If you work hard and you put diligent in your work, you respect your boss, you know, you go to school, you try not to be a bum, you know, try not to live off the government all the time, you know, I'm gonna bless you. And then as you make little money, you honor me with your material possession. You tithe, you give. You don't hold on tight to your stuff. Then you bless. That's the principle for blessing. We miss it sometimes. They couldn't believe it was Judas. And they kept asking themselves, is it me? But Jesus said, guys, when I read this, I realized, wow, we need to be real. I'm examining myself over this. Judas, I believe he was very talented, like some people. You know, when you look for acting, you know, actors, I mean, I'm not an actor. I'm not good at acting. Sometimes when you act, you can be serious. You know, sometimes when you act, you can, you know, watch those movies, those actors. I mean, they're crying. They create a scene. You know, sometimes we watch, guys, remember, when you watch a movie, it's a movie. Don't invest so much emotion into it. It's acting. It might be a story. There might be a good story, a true story related to the movie. But let me break it to you. It's acting. But believe me, I'm in the same boat with you. You know, I get emotionally attached to this movie. I start, sometimes I cry, you know, it's like, oh, it's okay. But it's acting. And you know, the greatest act we have, the greatest act we have also is in the church. We have a lot of actors in the church. Actors. We have a lot of actors in the church. Please, I don't want to be an actor. That's why I told my kids. I mean, of course, Kendra knows it. If you're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in me, I must sit down. I can't be up here teaching you as a spirit if the fruit of the Spirit are not in evident in my life. That's why we do not value charisma and talent over fruit. Because how do you know? One, the first benchmark, you would see in someone's life that they're real, you see the fruit. You see the fruit. They will love the company of the saint. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of the saint. And you know, when the enemy start working in our lives, when we give him a foot in our lives, when we open the door for him in our lives, the first thing he start doing is to remove, disconnect you, isolate you so he can eat you alive. Remove you. And some of you can testify when you go through. I can testify. I remember when I used to do this yo-yo Christian life. You know, the Christian life you do, people do like this, the yo-yo. They're good, they're good, bad. Good, bad. Good, bad. You know, they love the Lord. They come to church. They're serving. They even confess their sin. Bad. That's a yo-yo Christian life. Down. That's the yo-yo Christian life you're doing. Right? Some people are good at this. You know, No, God does not want us to live a yo-yo Christian life. He wants you to be stable. Spiritual growth. Talked about that at our Bible study Friday night. He wants you to grow in maturity. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't want you to be an actor in the church. That's why when you are not an actor, you have nothing to lose. Like me, I have nothing to lose. You find me the same person every situation. People who knows me, you find me when I'm frustrated. I'll probably be a little hot-tempered when I'm frustrated. Kendra would probably encounter that more. But thank God for self-control. Because when your blood is boiling, When you feel like you're losing your temper, it's not like you're out of your mind. You know right now you're getting mad. To remove yourself from the situation. To talk about it later on. We don't want to be an actor in the church like Judas. Judas was a good actor. He was the treasurer. Man, Jesus gave him the bag of money. And trusted him with the money. Trusted him to make... He probably was stealing from the money. Yeah, he was. He was. He went on mission trips. Now you'll understand. Once throw that away, this idea, once saved is always saved. You must work your salvation with fear and trembling. That's why don't put your eyes on people. You know, for those of you God is bringing here, you know, I'm not the special sauce. The Holy Spirit is the special sauce. The Jesus in me, that little fire in me, mixed with the little fire in you, then with all of us, and then whoosh, make a big fire. That's why every day in your life, you must be remaining in the Word. Read your Bible. Obey the Bible. Repent of your sins. Live a life surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. And then that's the other thing. Oh, let's read this. Luke chapter 13. I love this. Luke chapter 13 verse 22. It says, Jesus went through the town of and villages, teaching as he went, always pressing towards Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? What a question. Guys, what would you, I mean, we sang it, we prayed it earlier. What was the saying? Shout to the Lord. It's like, nothing compares to the promise I have. Think about this. I pray you know what you're talking about. But when I'm praying this, I'm like, nothing compares. Okay, I've been through it. What can I compare to knowing Christ? Nothing. What can you compare to have a personal relationship with Jesus? Absolutely nothing. And here in verse 23 in Luke chapter 13, this guy came to Jesus asking him, Lord, will only a few be saved? Jesus replied, work hard. Some of your version says strive. Make every effort to achieve, to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Work hard to enter the door, the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Didn't we come to church? Lord, didn't I lead worship? Didn't I go on mission trips? Lord, I give every month. I give every week. Lord, I serve at my church. Lord, I do the presenter. I do the camera. And that's this is the standard here. I tell our people in the back, I know them, try to know them, and try to evaluate their walk with the Lord. If somebody is behind the camera, doing the camera, they're serving the Lord right now, putting this online. But you know, for those of you watching online, we love you. God bless you. Thanks for tapping in. But that's not our focus. If the person behind the camera is not following Jesus, if there's no fruit of repentance in their life, guess what? They're not qualified. Because they're not real. Sign, benchmark number one. Of someone who is real, you will see in their life the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Strive, work hard. And then it says, but I will reply, I don't know you. Or where you come from? Who are you? Have you ever met somebody and you met, you know, years ago, a couple of months ago, there was a connection and you saw them again and they think they know you. And you're like, oh, yeah, hey, Latanya, how you doing? And you're like, where did we meet? Some of us are a little wise and we don't say that. It's like, yeah, how you doing? Yeah. So maybe remind me, you know, something like that kindly. But to hear Jesus is like, hang on. Who are you? Do I know you? Do you know Christ? Or do you just come to church? Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? Verse 27 says, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all who do evil. Someone who is not real, there's another benchmark. They do evil. One foot in the world. You remember my ladders? I got to bring those ladders back. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. Impossible. Be real. Examine yourself. Are you walking with Christ? What do you watch on TV? What do you listen to? What do you feed your soul with? And then this is the verse I was talking about from John. You don't have to go there. I'll read it for you. Jesus said, John 13, verse 21, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. But there is a verse from John 13 I want to bring to our attention. It's verse 26. When Jesus responded, it is the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas. And then he said to Judas, hurry and do what you're going to do. Verse 27 says, Judas had eaten the bread. Satan entered into him. You know, you could have people in the church born again, confess the Lord, but because they stop remaining, Satan is ruling their hearts. Who's ruling your mind? Satan or God? That's why the Bible says again in Ephesians, do not give a foothold to the devil. Kick him out. Don't let him on your porch. He'll take you in places you don't want to be. When Satan enters the heart of someone, that means they're living in darkness. Do not give a foothold to the devil. Don't. Here's another benchmark. Humility. When someone is real, they're going to be humble. For example, I'm going to give you a good example. This is what it says in James chapter 4. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Now I understand some of us, our knees cannot, I'm going to keep doing this until my knees, hopefully the Lord give me grace that I'll still be able to do this when I'm 95. Okay, if it's the Lord's will. But I understand some of you cannot do that. Okay? But do you know, some of you, it's hard, even if I would call you to the altar, to come and lay down. Come to the altar. Humble yourself. Some of you are not able to humble yourself. You're too prideful. You focus on too much on what people think. Because you think, oh, if I come to the altar, and I'm serious, some of you, that's how you think. You think, let me come to the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicted you. Come to the altar. Come kneel down. There is an invitation to come to the altar, to humble yourself. Literally, when you bend your knees, you come down. This is a physical position, but it is an expression of your spirit going down. Saying, God, I need you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, give me grace. That's what it is. But some of you are so prideful, you can't even do this. Some of you worry too much about what people say about you. You don't want them to see you in your weakness. For the Bible says, God, give grace to the humble. For you to be real, you have to be humble. You have to be humble. Come before the Lord. Come before Him. When there is a call, I tell you, I don't know, sometimes I still make the altar call, but I'm like, why don't they ever come? Some of you do come. But some of you here, I've never seen you come to the altar. And I've called you to the altar. I read this about D.L. Moody. He used to start, you know, D.L. Moody is one of the great evangelists in America. He used to start every service by inviting people to the altar to humble themselves. And he would say, get your eyes off people. You can't come to the altar when your eyes are on people. What are they going to think? Oh, are they going to see me walking up front? And then they're going to see me sitting on those stairs? You know? They're going to see. Oh, pastor says, everybody, you know, if you feel like, if you want more, if you want a touch from the Lord, just, I'm not praying for you, but I'm just asking you. There is an invitation to just step in, step out. Step out from your place. Just come forward. And in your mind, hear this. Your spirit is like, yes, that's right. That's right. But no, because your eyes are on people. You're like, no. What are they going to think? They're going to think you're a bad person. One of the benchmark that you're real, you have no problem humbling yourself. And for you to humble yourself before others, it starts with humbling yourself before the Lord. You will never be able to ask people to forgive you if you can't be so low before God. I invite you. I would come to the altar. I mean, I was talking to Alyssa. I said, Lord, just send us kingdom worshipers. Because I minister to the Lord. We minister to the Lord. We're not singing for you, okay? We invite you to come. I said, because, you know, sometimes me and Father, keyboard or guitar, we're having such a good time. I just want to be on the altar. Sometimes I'm playing here, but I'm on my knees. I'm on my face. That's why I don't get it. When people are in worship, in an atmosphere of worship, and you're just standing there like, I'm bored. When are they gonna done singing? Or they're sitting down. Now, we're not talking about the position. You could be sitting down, standing up, laying down. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's the attitude. You totally miss it. You totally miss. You have a great opportunity to join the angels worshiping the King of Kings because you're so prideful. You're so focused on people. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, humble yourself. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Two ways it starts by submitting to God. Humbling yourself to God. Humble yourself. At home, get on your knees. When you come to church, if your knees allows it, okay? Get on your knees. Get on your face. Get on your face. I'm calling you, Restoration Church, to start. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of you focusing on people. Get on your face. I'm showing you how to do it. I get on my face. Because I need God's mercy. To be humble, that's one benchmark of someone who is real. It says, draw near to God. Verse 8, James chapter 4. Draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. See the condition right here? The closeness between us and God depends on us. Because God already wants to be so close to you. But he's like, I'll be as close as you want. How close do you want me? The closer you get, the closer I am. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. You know someone who is double-minded? You don't know where you stand. I said it. Foot in the world, foot in the church. Foot in the things of God, you think, and the foot in the things of this world. You go to world parties. Come Halloween, you celebrating Halloween, you participating in the worship of the dead. You know, you are, I hear people ask, what's your sign? I don't know them, but I hear people say, well, what's your sign? My sign is, I don't know, I guess silver. Is there something like that? Anyway, you know, my sign is a diamond, whatever. Your sign must be the blood of Jesus. That's what it should be. Anything else is diabolique. It's from the devil. Anything else is from the devil. Your sign should be the cross. Hallelujah. When I look at my life, I see the cross. That's my sign. That is my sign. That's what your sign should be. Come closer to God. He will come closer to you. So humble yourself. Remember that. Go low. You know, and the thing is, I'm like, okay, do I have, because I want to give you an opportunity to humble yourself, and then I'll continue next week. There's a lot more in this, talking about Judas, believe me. But will you be able to humble yourself? And I'm going to ask you to do that, and then we're going to transition in the next room to fellowship. And please, if you have time, just stay and fellowship with us. But you know, let's just close your eyes, and I'm gonna give you, I'm not asking you to come forward, but if you're able to, where you at, just get on your knees if you are able to. If you're not able to, I get it. If you want to come to the altar, you do that. I'm going to take about 8 minutes. And as you come to the altar, you're going to come approaching. And this is a great invitation for all of you. To just come. Saying, Lord, I surrender. And I understand some of you might not be able to physically, but today I want you to enter a season where you're like, you know what, God, I want to be real. I will be real. You to pray, Lord, have mercy on me. For there's this story Jesus said to his disciples. He says there were two men went in the temple to pray. One of them was just beating their chest, saying, Lord, I thank you that I am not like the tax collector. Saying, Lord, I thank you that I am not a thief. I thank you that I am not like the adulterous woman, just pointing fingers at others. But yet there was another one on his face saying, God, have mercy. And then he asked the disciples, who do you think from these two has gotten forgiveness? And we know, he said, you know, the one who humbled himself. So Father, we pray this morning, we humble ourselves before you.
Lord, have your will.
You've done here today. We submit to you. We surrender all to you, Lord. We commit this week to you, Father. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us. Your divine power give us everything we need for godliness. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we thank you for favor. We thank you that because we have favor with you, we also walk in favor with men. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our children, our family. Thank you for this past week, all the ups and downs. We just commit our lives to you again, Father. We have nothing without you, Lord. As we continue our lives, you know, even continue to fellowship, may your presence just rest over us, Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be evident in our lives, Father. Bless these, your sons and your daughters. Bless them, Father. Be with them, God. Continue to speak with us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak through us. Give us dreams and vision, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would just stir up a deeper hunger, a deeper thirst. That's what it's about, a deeper hunger and a deeper thirst. I speak life to this congregation, God. I speak life to these, your sons and your daughters. I speak healing to them, God. We thank you for divine healing, for physical healing. We thank you for emotional healing as well, God. We thank you that we live not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Father. We thank you that we don't live by the law of the spirit of the law, but we live by your spirit, the spirit of life, the Holy Spirit. We love your presence, God. Continue what you started, what you begin here today. Take it with us, Lord, in our cars, in our jobs, everybody we encounter. Let it be a great opportunity. You know, I just remember, let's pray for Marianne and Robert. They had a family emergency that they're out of town. Lord, we mentioned their name. You know what they're going through. We ask that you would just comfort their family and carry them. And everybody in our midst, Lord, that are just going through tough time right now, be with them, Lord God. Comfort them. Be their guide. Be their shield, Lord God. We pray for Walt, God. Continue to give him your strength, Lord God. Everybody that in this congregation that's just going through something, Father, you know them by name, Lord God. We stand in the gap. We stand in the gap for them. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. We, you know, I pray, like, Lord, that you'd cause our hearts to love to come together. That coming together when you hear is not life sucking, it's life giving. It starts to the ushers. Start with the ushers. Make us excited, Lord God, by your spirit. Let this place be a life giving because you are here. We bless you, Father. Now may the peace of Christ that will all that surpasses all understanding, rule your heart. Let the presence of God rule your heart. In Jesus' name. And you saints say, amen. Well, live in his victory. Let's go eat some physical food. I love you guys. Praise the Lord.